Well, venerable religious and dear parishioners, there are times in the year when it is customary to speak about the Blessed Sacrament. I'm thinking of Holy Thursday, of course, and Corpus Christi, the more joyful celebration of the Holy Eucharist. Holy Thursday is more sorrowful because it's the night before Jesus dies. And we also, of course, speak about Holy Communion, about the Blessed Sacrament on First Holy Communion Day, which is coming up in a couple of weeks. But April is the month of the Blessed Sacrament, so I would like to give a Sunday sermon about the most blessed sacrament of the altar. And to make a couple of distinctions, the receiving of the most blessed sacrament or the Holy Eucharist is what we call Holy Communion. And at least once a year, and this is a very firm commandment of the Church, and it's actually an expression of the command of our Lord that we need to eat His flesh and drink His blood. We must make at least one worthy Holy Communion during Easter time. One of the phrases that we use to describe the Blessed Sacrament is the real presence of Christ. And I would like to explain that to you. And I got this analogy from Father Anthony Cicada's excellent book, Analyzing the Changes in the New Mass, the book entitled The Work of Human Hands. I encourage you to read it because it thoroughly analyzes and shows the many problems with the new Mass. But he gives this analogy to explain what is meant by the real presence. Let's say that you love opera. And I know he's already deceased, but let's take Luciano Pavarotti as the example of the great opera singer that you, as an opera lover, would like to go hear. And let's say you paid $100 for a good seat in the opera house just to hear him sing. So the day of the concert comes, you go to the concert hall, everybody else's thousands and thousands of people are gathered there paying various amounts of money for the seat that they're going to enjoy his singing. And just before the program is supposed to begin, an announcement is made. We're sorry Mr. Pavarotti couldn't make it today, but we will on a large screen TV, we will show him singing. Now, how would you feel? You would no doubt feel cheated, and you would want your money back, because no matter how nice the TV screen can portray him or project his image, it's not him. It's not his real presence. And just as everybody else would want their money back, it shows that that the real presence is not the same thing as a virtual or symbolic presence. So applying this to the doctrine of the Holy Eucharist, we see symbolic or virtual presences of Christ in the Church. Let's point out the virtual presences of our Lord, or the symbols of His presence. The crucifix that must be in front of the priest when he offers the Mass. It is a symbol of Christ. It's obviously not Christ Himself. The altar is treated with great, great reverence during the Mass. It is incense during the High Mass because the altar is a symbolic or virtual presence of Christ. But it's not the real presence. And as Father Cicada points out, you as the people here, in a remoter sense, are the presence of Christ inasmuch as you're members of His mystical body. But all of these virtual or symbolic presences do not begin to compare with the real presence. And that's what the church is. Every time we come, we do not encounter just a holy place or a symbol of Christ. We encounter Jesus Christ Himself, body, blood, soul, and divinity. And we make that act of faith as soon as we come inside those doors, devoutly genuflecting on our knee, because He's really here, not just symbolically here, not just virtually here, but really here. I might also add that Father inserted this analogy to also show one of the gravest problems with the new Mass, where the modernists that rewrote the Mass said specifically in their rewriting of the Mass that the symbolic presence of Christ is the same as His real presence. That's pure and utter heresy. And yet, look how many people were deceived by it. Practically everybody, when the new Mass was introduced. You'd have to start delving into it, and then you see heresy after heresy, denial after denial of Catholic doctrine. But this is what the modernists did. They knew what they were doing. They wanted to erode, to ruin the faith of Catholics. They didn't come out and say Christ is not present in the Holy Eucharist, but they did start off by equating, by making a false equivocation, by saying the symbol is the same thing as the thing. How many sheep were led astray? Countless numbers. Hundreds of millions. So just one of the many, many problems of the new Mass and of the changes. We can see in the true Mass how the real presence of Christ is treated. You see, once our Lord comes upon the altar, the genuflections that the priest makes during the Mass, because it's not just a representation of Christ now, it is Christ. And that's an unfathomable thought, but we believe it because He said so. And He said it at the Last Supper. He didn't say, this represents my body. He didn't say, this is a virtual presence of my body. He said, this is my body. No equivocation, no mysterious speaking, plain and simple. This is. Do you believe it or not? And of course, we as Catholics do. He wants to be with us so much that He became our spiritual food. Under the pleasing appearance of bread and wine, He wants to enter within us to be our food. We are nourished in other ways. Prayer nourishes us. Spiritual reading nourishes us. But nothing nourishes us like the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. That's a privilege that we have only in this life. As good as heaven is, we won't be able to receive Holy Communion there. But in this life, we can and we must. So how do we prepare for Holy Communion? Well, the Church teaches us, the Catechism points out the minimum requirements. I'll just read here from it. To receive Holy Communion worthily, it is necessary to be free from mortal sin, to have a right intention, and to obey the Church's laws on the fast required before Holy Communion. Obviously, it would be a grave sacrilege to receive Holy Communion without having mortal sin forgiven. That's why confession is needed ahead of time if one should have unfortunately fallen into that. But once one is in the state of grace, then receive. And it is, of course, better to also be sorry for our venial sins. I like to compare Holy Communion to having, you know, the king over to visit your home. You know, to have your home in it as an absolute wreck would be like somebody's soul in mortal sin saying to Jesus, come inside my soul. But venial sin that's not repented of would be like having dust and things out of place when the king comes. It's not terribly offensive, but it is offensive. So before we to come to Holy Communion, let's tell Jesus, I'm sorry for all of my venial sins. So, in other words, so our soul is dusted as much as possible, and as many things are in order before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords comes upon His throne in our hearts. What's the right intention? Basically, what a Catholic would want to do. I want to receive Jesus. The best motives are because I love Jesus so much. I see His infinite love for me. I love Him. I want to offer my heart to Him. Or I just want to save my soul. I want to be spiritually fed. I want to be spiritually strengthened. My dear brethren, how many graces we miss out on when we don't receive Holy Communion when we can, or when we receive Him in a lukewarm fashion. We get only as many graces as we're disposed to receive. If we come with cold hearts to Holy Communion, not trying to make our hearts more worthy, then we walk away with many fewer graces. Praying the Mass prayers is the best way to prepare for Holy Communion. And of course, the prayers you pray before Mass to dispose yourself for Mass. What about our quick review of the fasting laws? Water may be taken at any time before Holy Communion without breaking the fast. Those who are sick, even if they're not confined to bed, may receive Holy Communion after taking medicine or non-alcoholic drinks. Thirdly, all Catholics may receive Holy Communion after fasting 3 hours from solid food and anything alcoholic in nature, and 1 hour from non-alcoholic drinks. And when Pope Pius XII made this concession, in other words, you used to have to fast from midnight. Even a drop of water after midnight would break your fast for the day. You couldn't receive Holy Communion. So Pope Pius XII relaxed the Eucharistic fast so that Catholics would come more often to Holy Communion. But he said, if you're going to make use of this privilege, he encourages works of charity and penance to compensate. So pray very devoutly before you receive Holy Communion. Increase the desire. Ask for great things. Ask Jesus to transform your cold heart into a heart that's on fire with love for God. These are wonderful prayers to pray as you follow along in the Mass. How should you come to Holy Communion? Like you really believe that you're about to receive Him whom the heavens and the earth cannot contain. He works that miracle to become small enough to come inside of us. Our demeanor should show our faith. We should be able to see from anybody approaching the communion rail his or her faith, belief. Let's approach it devoutly, hands joined, folded if possible, to show our devotion and our faith. Remember, external demeanor, such as dress. This is why we insist on a dress code. The Church is very clear about modest dress before Holy Communion. This is the place where it should be most outstanding. Modesty in dress. Never in any way offending in modesty in any way before Holy Communion, especially when we are in God's house. What should we do after Holy Communion? Spend some time adoring our Lord, thanking Him, renewing our promises of love and of obedience to Him, and asking Him for blessings for ourselves and others. There's so much good that happens to our souls when we receive Holy Communion. We always are better, but again, how disposed are we? How well prepared are we? Like anything else in life, if you prepare poorly for something, it doesn't go well. Or you take a lot less from it. But the better you prepare, the more you take away from it. There's a verse in Psalm 101 that maybe this is a prophecy of Holy Communion. It talks about one's misery, one's problems. And one of the phrases in there is, I forgot to eat my bread. If We can apply that to Holy Communion. So many of our miseries and our problems are because we forgot to devoutly and filled with faith eat of the divine food, which is Holy Communion. Remember, my dear brethren, we don't get warm by staying away from the fire. We get warm by moving closer to it, by more devout Holy Communions, by more time before the Blessed Sacrament. And also, if we want vocations from our parish, we have to bring our children to the feet of the Divine Master. That's always a key part of vocation. Them learning to fall in love with our Lord. But they won't if they don't spend the time before Him. Let's all try to grow in our love, in our reverence, our time spent before the most blessed sacrament of the altar. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen.